Accession number 27815, Mr. Peter Collins, Reel 2. Now, we're talking about your time, you know, during the Blitz, generally, and the bombing. Now, are there any stories before you became a fireman? Any other close escapes or damage or things you remember about that?
Well, not really. I mean, we were fairly well covered at the Ministry of Information as far as the shelters were concerned. And also, the shelter in Boswell House seemed to be a fairly well substantial building, so we had also incendiary bombs and things of that nature. It was just one of those things that you live with, really.
So tell us about fire watching.
Well, fire watching, we could only go by what the ARP wardens were telling us to do, where a fire was taking place, and if they wanted us to get there, or if they wanted the fire people to get there. But we weren't. It was towards the end, I suppose, of the Blitz, really. Apart from 39 to 42, it was when the Blitz took place. I was going to say in Fleet Street, there before the war, or during the war, they had lights going across from one side of the street to the other, and in the middle was a light. We had a mine drop and on a parachute mine, and it caught in this wire and swung backwards and forwards in front. We were evacuated, but as I said, the name of the house was News Chronicle House, and we were evacuated, and we finished up working from the Savoy Hotel, which was something I'd never sort of been in any place like that before. But we soon got back. They took the bomb away and detonated it. But the bombing, well, I suppose you can say that from Southampton Row, right the way along Theobald's Road until you came to Doughty Street, was flattened completely. The Camden Council have got books issued which shows you what happened to the part that I'm talking about. In fact, in Herbrand Street, the just up the top end from where we lived, that was all flattened as well. One thing, my group scout master was none other than Ralph Reeder of gang show fame. And he, we had the church hall, and the church hall was actually bombed completely, and we lost all our gear. And so I then became a member of the 8th Holborn Scouts, which had been the scout troop that my father had been a scout leader in. So I was fairly, you know, I knew that everything was going on around that area at that time. There was complete devastation and shops and everything that we knew of that we could never get anything from anymore.
Was transport really badly disrupted then, I presume?
Oh, yes, yeah. You see, at the top of the road we had tram lines, and the trams changed over at the junction of Theobald's Road and Southampton Row. And of course, with the bombing, that took most of the tram lines out. So you didn't have very much there. The buses were still running, but you could never say you were going to get a bus or anything like that. The only real transport that you could rely on was the underground.
You said you went down to a tube station once to shelter. What was that like?
London Bridge, and it was horrible.
What was horrible? Tell us about it.
Well, there were no... I was right down... Of course, it was all occupied by regulars, you see. And I was at the bottom of this lift shaft, in fact. And if the bomb had come down, you didn't stand another chance. The trouble was that you weren't allowed across on the underground from London Bridge to the other side of the river during an air raid. So you were stuck there. I was just stuck there. I sat there through the raid until it was over, and then I got over to the other side.
Was it packed full?
Oh, yeah, packed right full. Yeah.
What was the atmosphere like down there?
Grim.
In what way?
Well, they all... they knew that, you know, that when they got back up again, they wouldn't know whether their house was still standing or not. And they just had to sort of grin and bear it. I mean, you could hear the bombs falling. The thing that... best thing I know about the Imperial War Museum is the shelter that they had there where you could sit.
Where?
In the Imperial War Museum.
Tell us about that. We don't know about that. Where was the shelter?
It was on the ground floor. They built this shelter, which you went into, and they had all the bombs going, everything.
You mean the modern exhibition? Yeah, the modern exhibition. Sorry, yeah. I thought you meant then.
No, the modern exhibition. That was so, so real, with the shaking and everything, that I was really amazed at that they could do it, but they did. I went in there twice, I remember, taking my grandchildren to the Imperial War Museum.
So for you, it was quite realistic.
Oh, yes, too true. Mm. Yeah, and coming out, seeing the bits and pieces that they actually put in that were broken, and all the flames and everything going on. Yeah, it was quite good.
Now, anything else during this period?
Yes. I don't know whether you know or not, but they evacuated all the women and children from Gibraltar, and they parked them in two hotels, the National Hotel and the Ivanhoe. These two hotels, one of them has been renamed, but they were in the middle of the area that was being bombed, and so they were faring worse than their fathers and brothers were in Gibraltar. And what we did, we started a scout troop in the National Hotel, and we gave them dances, and we told the boys everything about scouting, but we tried to make the best for the people that lived there. It was a pretty grim, because one family was stuck in, well, not in two rooms, one family was stuck in a room sort of thing, without any man to look after them. They were in a pretty bad way. My cousin, in fact, married one of the girls from Gibraltar, and he's dead now, but his wife, as far as we know, is still alive. And we also had film shows in the church vestry at Christchurch Church itself. We also provided the choir. I was in the choir in Christchurch before the war, and until such times as I went into the Navy, we were there. One of my friends, Jack Holden, was awarded the Silver Cross by the Scouts for putting incendiary bombs from the Hotel Russell in sand and things of that nature. But I could never understand. Well, I can understand why they evacuated them, but I couldn't understand why they put them in the place that was going to be bombed to hell. And of course, the hotels were absolutely full of cockroaches, really full of cockroaches.
Mm. Were you scared in the bombing, you know, because you were quite in the centre of it all?
Oh, yeah. You were scared. No getting away from the fact you were scared. You didn't know where to duck, sort of thing, shall we say. Apart from the time that we were evacuated from our shelter, that's the only real time that I had been, shall we say, in the street during a bombing. Yeah.
Did it prey on your mind at all?
I don't think so. Just took it as it came, really. Something that happened. I remember when we evacuated, my mother sent me back up to the flat that we lived in, because my father was still in the army then, to get the brown case that had the insurance policies in. And I had a suit that I only just bought. I remember it.
Now, sorry, you were evacuated from. Why was this?
From the bomb. From our air shelter because.
When the mine landed close.
No, this is the one where the London County Council storage place went up in flames.
Right, you mentioned that. Sorry, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And that was. So I had to go up to get the heat from the building. That was burning was the real thing why we had to evacuate, because it was so hot that you could feel the heat from the building in the air raid shelter opposite it. And that was pretty dicey.
Now, what happened next? Because you sort of come into the town where you're going to get called up.
Did you volunteer?
Oh,
yes, I volunteered.
Now tell me, why did you volunteer? Because you don't have to. I mean, what did you?
Well, I've always wanted to go in the Navy, and so I didn't want to get called up and go into the Army. So I volunteered for the Navy on my 18th birthday, or around about there, and I was called up in April 42.
Now, what was the procedure of volunteering? What did you have to do?
Well, you went to centre that was in the process of taking volunteers in. The one that I went in was just off of Euston Road. I must say, previous to that, two of us had volunteer for the Air Force. We were both underage, so they wouldn't take us. They needed our parents' consent. And I knew my father wouldn't allow me to go in the Air Force. So that was that. But he didn't have any say in where we were going when I was 18, of course. I went to...
Now, were there any tests you had to do to join the Navy? Or you know?
Oh, you had to pass a medical test. But that was all, really. Not much.
No intelligence or aptitude.
Not
tests.
Then.
Not at that stage. No. So you... Tell me about the call up. Well, the call up after you volunteered.
Yeah,
that was on. Looks like back end of April.
Yeah, that's right. Royal Arthur, HMS Royal Arthur.
Now, what was? Did they just send you a note, a pass, and?
Yeah, they sent you a letter saying, and you had to report to so and so and so and so, and from there you would be taken to HMS Royal Arthur, which was Butlins.
So that's a shore station, and it's at Skegness?
Skegness, yeah. Butlin's Camp. And we were in chalets.
Now, what was your reception? You know, when you arrive, I know you've had a fair bit of experience with various things, but when you arrive, you still arrive as a civilian, and a few minutes later,
that's
you're
right.
not.
That
How
right.
did they actually take you in, you know, when you got there?
Well, you went and more or less, you were in your civilian clothes, and you marched through to a depot, and you were issued with naval uniform.
Now, what do you remember of...
And then you had to... They also gave you a stamp, wooden stamp, with your name on it, which you had to stamp all your clothes.
Now, what did they give you? What clothes and uniform and equipment did they give you?
Well, you had two pairs of trousers, two jumpers, and shirts, naval shirts. You had two of those, I think. You could have... And I think you had pants. Yeah, we all would have pants. After that, that was the first issue, and from then on, whatever you wanted, you had to buy yourself, because you had a kit and upkeep allowance, sixpence a day. My mother, dear wife, back again. And I suppose that I was lucky in as much as I'd been in the Sea Cadet Corps, and I knew what was going to happen and that thing. And I knew there was a lad who was in the Sea Cadet Corps who had been called up before me, was at Skegness, so I was able to get some sort of things there. You had a colour vision test to see whether you were colour blind or not.
Now, what do you remember that? What was that? I've not heard of that one.
Oh. They gave you a card, and it was there was... a different coloured dots all over it, but one of them stood out so that you could tell that figure was in blue or whatever. it stood out from the rest of them. All right, love? And then he had a physical test, of course, usual thing. And then after about, I suppose, 3 or 4 days, you had the TAB injection.
Now, what effect did that have?
Cause knocked you out. You were allowed 24 hours off, so they must know how bad it was.
And what effect did it have on you?
Well, only that I was very, very sore. You know, it didn't affect me in any...
Didn't sort of swell up? Or
you? Oh, yeah, it swelled up. Otherwise, it wouldn't have taken. You wouldn't have known it had been done. You had that and all the sore arms and things like that. Didn't let anybody smack you on the arm or whatever.
Now, tell me about, what were the huts like? You were in the chalets,
weren't you? Yeah, I was in the chalet.
Could you describe it? Because I know it seems like everyone will know, but they don't know what a Butlin's chalet is like.
The Butlin's chalet had a double bed in it and a single bed. Now, the double bed was divided by a wooden planks that had been put in slots, so you've got three people in the chalet. Wasn't very much room for anything else.
What else was in there? Furniture or...
Oh, no. There was cupboards for put your gear in and things like that. Because you had a kit bag. And you had to keep most of the stuff in the kit bag. The washing facilities you had to go elsewhere for your washing. Washing yourself as well as washing your clothes.
What about any heating in there? Although you wouldn't need it so much back in April, May.
No, my poor Claire's brother-in-law, he was there in 1939, and the man in the next bed to him actually died of frostbite in there.
But you were there in the spring, so
I didn't have anything like that, no. The good thing about, we were there for 6 months.
Now, take me through a typical day's training. You know, I mean, you know, I know it's nothing's typical. No,
well, either you.
What time would it start?
Oh, about 6 o'clock, and then you went into there. You went into the big hall for your breakfast. You all had to take a turn of being in charge of the mess, sort of thing, to go and collect the stuff and then doll it out.
Now, what was the food like? We'll talk about the food for the whole day, rather than go through each meal individually. What was the food like at Royal Arthur?
Well, I suppose it was adequate, really. I mean, having got used to being rationing, I think I got more food there than I would have done if I'd have stayed at home, really, because of the rationing. Everything was cooked centrally, of course. And
what type of food was it? Was it the sort of food you were used to that you liked?
Well, no, you just had to take what was coming. I mean, I can't say I liked some of the things they served up, but...
But there was enough of it?
Oh, yeah, just keep going.
Was the quality okay generally?
Yes, I suppose it was. You could say it was, yeah. There weren't many people grumble. A lot of people lined up at the mid-morning break to get their... buy a bun from the naffy and sort of keep them going, but there was nowhere really at hand.
Sorry.
Okay, we were at Skegness for 6 months training, and we were lucky in one respect that having got over the initial rifle drill and such like
thing. You were going through a typical day, remember?
Yeah, that's right. Well, that include. At the beginning, there was rifle drill, but because we were going in for us to become signallers, we also had signal training.
The drill, how was it? Was the drill just what you'd be used to after doing the home guard and the rest of it?
Well, as far as I was concerned, yes. I mean, I didn't need any help really to go. And I'd done rifle drill and everything. And as I say, we were very lucky. We became the class that was dealt with fires. And we used to have to trudge round on every Sunday with pulling a pump all round the parade ground. And then when they all went into church, we went there to put all the stuff away. We went round in gas mask, tin helmet, and overall clothing, waterproof stuff. I can't say I was unhappy there. I was quite happy.
Now, what about your? What other sort of training did you do during the day?
Semaphore and Morse.
Now, how were you at Semaphore and Morse? You'd already learned them, hadn't you?
Got my history sheet.
They can't see it anywhere.
There we are. No. Examination for signalmen. And examination for ordinary signalmen. And I was recommended there to become a trained operator, but I never became a trained operator. Most of the marks were, I passed, obviously. Most of the marks were quite good.
So what were you actually learning? Morse and Semaphore, how did you take to Morse and Semaphore? You'd done some of it already.
So I was quite right. You know, the flag, signalling by flag, I thought was a bit difficult, but I got used to that.
What do you mean by flag? Not semaphore. Do you mean semaphore? Do you mean
Morse by flag? You use it, this for a dash and that for a dot. It's called we had buzzer, of course, for the Morse, anything like that, and coding.
What was coding?
Well, you had English, so we had an English signal which you had to transfer into the coding for sending by buzzer.
Was it complicated?
No, I don't think so. That was that.
And what about any seamanship training?
Luckily enough, we didn't get any. If you weren't
not at all.
Not really. No. If you weren't in sort of firefighting, we used to do practicing firefighting quite a lot. I mean, you did that all right, but you didn't have any pulling. Because they had boats that were at anchor in the pool, right at the very back near the front, and they were chained boats that you had to pull against, so you couldn't get anywhere with it. But apart from that, there wasn't very much. The seamanship was already all on the other side, really.
And you weren't doing that?
No.
Any other training you did there?
Well, I was a swimmer. I swam for the Navy against the Army and the Air Force, breaststroke, and I was the only rating that was in training at Butlins for that thing, and we beat the Army and the Air Force, and so I had, because they had galas there, and I've won quite a few of the races at the gala. So I was really allowed, because I was going in for this 100 yards breaststroke, I was allowed to use the officer's pool for training purposes, which was quite handy.
And did you enjoy the competitive swimming?
Oh, yeah, too true.
Anything else you were doing while you were at Royal Arthur?
No, nothing in particular.
How did you get on with the other lads?
Oh, fine. Yeah, we still meet up. I belong to the Royal Arthur Association, and my class, which was S18, up until a couple of years ago, I haven't been for more than that now, I suppose about 4 years. There were at least 10, Claire? 10 or a dozen.
I think the first time.
And we're still in touch. They came, a number of them came to my...
Now, then, what were they like then?
I mean, some of them were very good, some of them were a bit... Because they came from all over England, and we had one chap came from France, actually, who we're still in touch with. But
were they from the same sort of background as yourself? Or
no, not really. I suppose, I don't know, some of them had been a bit, shall we say, a bit naughty, but been in trouble... Things like that, but not they weren't too bad.
Was there any bullying?
Oh, no, I'd not try that. Well, it didn't bully me.
But it was a happy bunch.
Yeah, very good. And so was the chief yeoman, the two chief yeomen. They'd been called up from the reserve, and they were fairly old, but they really a good father figure.
These are the instructors?
Yeah, instructors, yeah.
And what was their attitude like? Were they strict?
Well, as long as you behaved yourself, you were all right, you know. You didn't get yourself into trouble. I've got a photograph upstairs of the whole class, which I can name some of them, but I can't name them all.
But, and the instructors, they knew the stuff, did they?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, they were very good. Well, it's the sort of thing you don't normally get buying presents for the teachers after the end of the thing.
But you did.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we appreciated how good they were.